Turn with me, if you would. And if I sound like I'm all over the map this morning, I probably am going to. I'm going to just be obedient to what the Lord said to me to do. But turn with me to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. We've been talking about a season of wonder. And I was, you know, I had a little bit of time, a couple times this week to meditate on, okay, Lord, what's next? You know, last week I talked about, introduced the season of wonder, you know, that's what the sermon series was going to be about. And every time I came to the Lord to ask him, what's this Sunday? You know, what's this Sunday? He sometimes gives me the series and then he fills in the blanks later. And in this particular time, I kept coming, okay, Lord, season of wonder, week two, Advent. And it was like, I would just like say, okay, Lord. And it was like crickets. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm here. Okay, all right. Open my Bible. Start reading, praying in the Holy Ghost. And this morning he said to me, tell them to step into my wonder. Step in to my wonder. Now look at what verse 14 says. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us is what Emmanuel means. Now if you get a revelation of this just for a moment, and Brother Alex, in the reading of the Advent, thank you so much for reading today as well. When he mentions in that reading that Mary actually responded in faith. She responded in faith to the word that was spoken to her. What did she say? Be it done unto me. Be it done unto me according to what God has said. When God has called you and I to step into this season of wonder, it means that we actually are the instruments of revival. It means that although we pray, and I heard Pastor Sam a couple nights ago, he was talking to us ministers, and he said, we pray for revival as if it's way out here somewhere. And that it has to come and shake us up. But the church, going back from to the book of Acts in Acts chapter 2, when the church was birthed, it drove them, the Holy Ghost drove them into the streets, drove them into the places that they would find themselves to be the witnesses that God called them to be. It drove Thomas, who we love to point out that, oh, well, he was a doubting Thomas. Thomas had a lot of faith. In fact, maybe in that moment he didn't, when Jesus corrected him and said, oh, Thomas, put your hand in my side, touch my wounds. Thomas went the furthest of any disciple, according to church history. And he went to what is now present-day India and ministered the gospel there. To this day, there are people that literally honor the name of Thomas because of that. Because he was so touched by the power of God, it drove him. Just say this out loud. Say, I am an instrument of revival if I step into it. You see, revival, when we think of it, is we're looking for the spectacular. And the spectacular is not necessarily what revival is or where revival is. Revival is when you speak to that person who has never heard the name of Jesus, who has never heard that Jesus loves them. Right now is the time where many people are ripe to hear that Jesus loves them. They are very ripe to hear that the purpose of Christmas was to give them life everlasting. The purpose of Christmas was to not just give gifts and talk about some guy in a red suit. The purpose of gifts, and the purpose was not the gifts, but the purpose of Christmas is to show forth the goodness of God. And so as we purpose in our hearts to step into wonder, if you step out, you will find out. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, when it said here, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That was a wonder. That was a wonder. God will speak to you about certain things that are wondrous. He'll speak to you about things that don't even make sense sometimes. Now, this was a big deal. But that young girl had enough faith in her heart to say, be it done unto me. Be it done. My soul magnifies the Lord. She accepted and embraced what her role would be. Now, we talked about Zacharias last week. Zacharias had to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, didn't he? Well, you and I have an opportunity to cooperate with wonder. If we want to see the wonders of God, we have an opportunity to cooperate with the wonders of God. Now, turn with me to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Like I said, I'm going to sound like I'm all over the map today. And it's because I'm just stirred in my heart. And like I said, it was a moment. I was talking to Abigail on the way here. I'm not going to tell any tales on her. I just was sharing with her as a dad that I was still waking up yesterday and thinking about it today. That God wants to bring revival to a city. He doesn't want to just bring revival to a church. He wants to bring a revival to a city and to a nation who they would bow their knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But it takes stepping into those roles, stepping into wonder, stepping out of your comfort zone. I like what Reverend Ann Durant recently at a prayer conference said, we need to get comfortable being uncomfortable. We need to get comfortable being uncomfortable. That is the walk of faith. Today, second week of Advent, is faith. Well, how do we step into wonder? It is by faith. It's God doesn't come and just make you speak in tongues. God doesn't come and make you be healed. God doesn't come and make you lay hands on the sick. You step out and you step in to wonder. When we step out of our comfort zone to reach out to somebody, to speak life into somebody's situation, to speak hope in a hopeless situation, and we touch the untouchable. We minister to those that people kind of shy away from. You look for opportunities. Man, I'll tell you that I started off just the opening comments that I had was to say I was so proud of you. Do you know how much the baristas were listening to us on Friday night? And the owner of the coffee shop? The joy that was in that place? The joy that was in that place. It was contagious. And it just kind of built as the evening went on. Colin's, spinning on his head. Well, no, he didn't spin on his head. He came close. The joy that was exuding out of that place, the presence of God came into that place. In fact, part of the reason why the conversation came about with the Catholic priest was he had walked in inadvertently to the coffee shop, heard us praying, and came over to Reverend Joe and started talking to Reverend Joe and said, I sense something very special here. Folks, get ready. I have no idea what 2022 is going to be. It might be challenging in some areas, but I'll tell you what, if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, we will step into wonders You'll step into miracles at the workplace. You will step into miracles in your homes, with family members, with people that you thought that's impossible. But we already heard. Brother Alex already said it. With God, all things are possible. And so, Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Praise God. Amen. I'm just sensing the Spirit of the Lord is, He's ministering. He's ministering to each one of us. The hunger for God is coming about in a different way for each of us. Amen. And if we will tap into that hunger, He is going to meet us right where we are. In chapter 2 and verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, like of whom have never seen, nor will ever be such after them. Even in the successive generations, a fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing will escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like swift steeds, so they run. With noise like chariots, over the mountaintops they leap. Like the noise of flaming fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array before the people writhe in pain, all faces drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb like the wall, like men of war. Everyone marches in formation and do not break ranks. They don't push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. And though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb in the houses. They enter the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army. For his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word, and the day of the Lord is great and terrible. Who can endure it? Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garment. Return to the Lord your God. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great in kindness. He relents from doing harm. He who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering, a drink offering from the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes, let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room, let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage a reproach. And that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? And the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. And the Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied and no longer be a reproach among the nations. I will remove far from you the northern army and will give him away into barren and desolate land. And he goes on. This whole prophecy sounds so intense. And it's a picture of the end times. It's a picture of the church. It's a picture of God returning to his people in a way of bringing revival. And the Bible tells us, skipping on down to verse 28, and it shall come to pass. This is where we're living right now. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And also my men servants and on my maid servants. Listen to this. I will pour out my spirit in those days, And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming and the great awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. I want to tell you something. It is our time to step in to the wonders of God. Step into revival. Step in to your place in that revival. Notice what it said in verse 28. It said that he would pour out his spirit. He would pour out his spirit on all flesh. On all flesh. He would pour out his spirit. On the day of Pentecost, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. The spirit was poured out. We have prayed for revival for many years. There are those saints that have gone on before us that have prayed for revival. I want to challenge us. It is time to step in to wonder. Step in to revival. Step into the plan of God and be bold about it. There's going to be an uncomfortable part of you when you open your mouth. When you tell that person, can I pray for you? When you speak to that individual to show them the goodness of God, not just to invite them to your church thing, but to show them the goodness of God. I want people to come to our next Saturday's event. I do. I want people to come to this church. Why? Because I see the goodness of God in you, and I want more people to come and be a part of the goodness of God that is in you, because we are the body of Christ. But let me tell you something, church family. That takes us being comfortable being uncomfortable. It's going to take us saying, can I pray for you? I'd like to invite you to my church. Listen, our church is having a story time. Can I pray with you? Can I offer you prayer? It's amazing how few people will ever turn down prayer. They won't. Most of the time, they will say, yeah, they might be uncomfortable too. But there is a moment in time where you will see the goodness of God and the wonder of God when he shows up. I got a little insight. The Catholic priest that was at the coffee shop, I didn't know he was a Catholic priest. I offered to pray for him after I knew that, because the Spirit of God said to me, offer to pray for him. Do you know how awkward that is? I didn't grow up Catholic, so I'm not Catholic bashing or anything else. But me, Protestant minister, I have to step out of, I'm sharing with you an insight so we can learn together. Right. Down here, on my inside, I heard, you need to pray for him. And I'm thinking, this is the main Catholic church in our town. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not the main priest. He's a retired fill-in priest. But I thought, okay. And so I just was bold about it. I said, can I pray for you? It's exactly what I said. Looked him in the eye. Can I pray for you? I didn't know what he was going to say, but you know what he did? He went, why, of course. And I put my hand on his shoulder and I began to pray. And I could sense the presence of God in that moment. I started tearing up. He started tearing up. And then he looked at me and he says, can I pray for you? And I said, I've never had a Catholic. I said this inside. I didn't say it out loud. I thought, dear God, I've never had a Catholic priest pray for me because I'm not Catholic. But I'm going to go for it because I can sense your spirit in this moment. And that man started out. And I thought, dear God, revival is come. We've been praying for our town, our city, and at Mount Kisco, and I thought, let all the churches be full to overflowing. Let every church in this area of the Northeast, let it start all the way from Maine and go all the way down to Florida, and let revival burn now across to the West, to the rest of this nation, engulf this nation, that the Word of God would be preached, that people's lives would be changed, and that the love of God would be lifted up. And you know, 2 months ago, remember what the Lord said? He said, get ready, this is a new season. He said that the prodigals were coming home. Get ready, they're not going to look like you want them to look. They're not going to always smell like you want them to smell. They're not going to always say all the right things when they you think they should say them. They're going to be a little rough around the edges. And you heard me say back in October, harvest can be messy sometimes. Listen, the church is a hospital for the sick, so that they get better. Why? Because we've got the healing power of God in this place. Amen. To make people whole. Yes. It's the gospel. Yes. God is more concerned about their future than He is about their past. Yes. Just you, like Lord. He is with Lord. You. It is Lord. Time to step into the wonders Amen. Of God. You will see signs and wonders. And you will see miracles in your work, on the street, on the bus, riding to work, in the subway, wherever you find yourself, if you will reach out, step out, as Peter stepped on the water, you will step on the power of God, and you will sense it. You might not sense it when you start, but when you open your mouth, He will be right there. And He's going to say, there I am. There I am. And He will manifest Himself. Let's just pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for revival. But we're not just going to pray passively. No, Father, we are instruments of revival. We're not just going to listen to the naysayers and the news. And we're not just going to listen to all the negative reports. But God, we are going to be the ones who step into Your wonder. Like Mary, who said, be it done unto me. We say, be it done unto us. So that when we hear that word and that still small voice that says, reach out. Pray, touch, and you will see the miracle power of God. It will come. It will come about. You will see signs and wonders and miracles. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. You will see things that you have never thought you would see, both in your family and in your neighborhoods and in your workplace. You will see, I will manifest my glory among you, because it is a day of wonder. It is a season of wonder, and you shall step in. And when you step in, you will feel my presence and my power, and it will go before you and it will come behind you, and you will see my glory, says God.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Sweetie, come on up here, please. Just pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. I believe God is prophetically speaking right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to... In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. I feel like God's going to give me a tongue, a message in tongues, and I feel like you got the interpretation.
As you step out, don't look back. Don't look back, but step in to the wonder. Step in by faith. Step in with my spirit. Don't look back. Go forward and receive.
Oh, and it will be glorious. And it will be glorious. And as you go, my provision will go with you. As you go, my provision, my plan will be manifest, and the purpose of where you are to go and what you are to say will be made very clear as you take it one step at a time. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's on the shoreline. It's on the shoreline. It's on the shoreline. You can actually see this revival on the shoreline. And as it comes closer, it will be more noticeable to others who cannot see it yet, but you can see it now. You can see it now. So when a storm comes and it is known ahead of time, there is preparation to be done. There are things to shore up. There are things to tighten up. There are things to gather up in preparation for what's on the shoreline coming to the land. And so I say to you today, shore up. Tighten up. Gather up what is needed, for what is on the shoreline can be seen and is coming to the land. And this is the revival of this time that many, many have prayed for decades to come from the Northeast. It's on the shoreline, and you are ready.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God.
Amen. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Just looking at the youth, and you guys are ready, right? The Spirit of God, they're going to be the ones praying all day and all night. They're going to be the ones, let's pray.
That's right.
Let's sing. Let's dance. Amen?
Amen.
Let's be before God. I sense that.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. I witness with that. Amen. I do.
It's true.
Hallelujah.
This is just me talking now, echoing what Pastor Doug said a bit earlier in his message. We were at this table, and there was about 25 pastors in the Northeast here on Thursday night, about 25 of us in this long table, and we asked the church, the pastors, to share what their highlights are in their ministry from this year, 2021, and I would venture to say there had to be at least six of those pastors. So maybe, you know, think some of them were married, some of them are not. So, but about six of them said, if we could just explain to you guys what's going on with our youth, if we could just tell you what's going on with our youth, if we could just tell you what's happening with our young people. Some of the churches are bigger. Some of them are the same size as us. But God is doing something. Now, for us as adults, it's not time for us to sit back and just let the young people do it, because they need our support. They need our prayer. They need us literally behind them in the spirit. And they need us to be here because they can't drive. They can't get here. They don't have the money. They can't drive. They need you. They need you to be here to help them do what is coming up in their spirits. If you are somebody who is here in this church and you don't have a young person in your household, we need you so much to be a part of what God is doing in the youth and in the kids. Because it's more than what we see. It's more than what we see. This church is going to be one of those churches.
Amen.
This church is going to be one of the churches. We have stayed here for almost 20 years. You've been here for, so many of you have been here for almost 20 years, 10, 15 plus. We're going to see this happen. And we're going to be ready. And these kids are coming. They're going to come. These children are coming. And we need you. You say, I don't know how to read stories. It's okay. I do. Just come. I need your help with bells, crafts, all these types of things. There's something for everyone to do in the harvest. If you know even a little bit about the harvest, if you're in a community where there's a where it's harvest time, every person does something. Everyone, if you live in a community where it's time to gather up the harvest, no one stays home. And if they are in the home, they are cooking, they are serving food. I'm serious. I mean this for us. We need people who will be like, can I just bring soup for you guys? Because you guys are doing all the setup. I'm serious. There are so many times we are here for hours and we are literally hungry. And let's order a pizza. But it takes time. Miss Avril and I were here for 2 Saturdays in a row. And we knew the kids were hungry. So we had to stop what we needed to do in the ministry upstairs. And for two times, we couldn't get work done for a couple of hours because we went out and we got the food for the kids. We need you to help us with that. Seriously. So God is just saying there's something for everyone to do. And what we need to communicate, and I hope you hear this clearly, please don't wait for us to ask you. I'm serious. Because sometimes there's so much in our hearts, we don't even have time to go, now who could we ask to do this? Because we can get in our own way and be like, well, they might just come and be like, I can do this. What do you need me to do? I could do something. What do you need me to do? When Miss Navi comes every Sunday morning, Hallelujah. And just does it,
Hallelujah.
I don't ever remember any of us asking her. I really don't ever remember anybody saying, we need Miss Navi, could you come and vacuum? She just started coming. She just started coming. And every Sunday I hear that vacuum. It's like music to my ears. Because I think, thank God, praise the Lord. But we need every one of us to be part of this harvest. It really is harvest time. There's something for us to do. Pastor said it and we're applying it. We will get comfortable being uncomfortable. We will. This is worth it. The gospel of Jesus is worth it. The gospel of Jesus is worth it. Because if it wasn't, you wouldn't be sitting here still. The gospel of Jesus is worth it for me. It's worth it for you. And it is worth it for the people who currently don't know that Jesus is the Savior. Amen. This world right now needs to know the way, the truth, and the life. And this sweet church is going to be part of that harvest. And this count, at that tree lighting, it was beautiful. And yeah, we looked great and we sounded even greater. But I have to tell you, I saw all this movement all around. There was kids running everywhere with our candles. There were parents all over the place. Your people talk. There was so much movement. And I thought, it was beautiful, but it was a little chaotic. And I thought, there's chaos right now in the midst of all of this Christmas season. People are in chaos when they don't know Christ. They're in internal chaos. And we're here with the peace of God. Amen. And when they walk in here and they have internal chaos, we know how to bring peace. Amen. All right, so we're not trying to keep you too long because we've got other things to do. But praise the Lord. We're in position. And I keep stumbling when I say that because I've been saying we're getting into position and the Holy Ghost was like, stop it. That's not the right way. Don't say it that way. So I keep getting corrected right as I start because you get into a habit of how you say things. Anybody understand what I mean in the spirit by that? You get into a habit of how you're confessing things and all of a sudden you're like, wait, can you just check me on that, Holy Spirit? Make sure I'm confessing it exactly the way you want me to. And he's like, it's not we're getting into. Because you'll never get there if you keep saying that. Because we never feel ready naturally, right? We don't look ready, feel ready. So we're in position. We're in position. We're in position.
Yeah.
And when I say that, it is a step of faith. Inside of me, it's a step of faith. Yeah. It takes a lot for me to say it like that. Praise God. We're in position.
Amen. In position. In position and stepping into wonder. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for visiting us today.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Father God, for ministering your great grace on your word. And thank you, Father God, for those that are possibly listening to this broadcast and don't know you. Father, that they would come to know you. They would come to know the life-giving, changing power of Jesus Christ. They would come to know what it means to be born again, what it means to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And so, Father, we pray a simple prayer out loud together. If you're not sure about your salvation with the Lord, I want you just to pray this prayer with us and mean it in your heart. The Bible says you'll be saved. That means you'll be born again and you will be ready when He comes. When He comes, get yourself into a good Bible-believing church and learn what it means to follow Christ. Let's pray this simple prayer together. Say, Father God,
I come to you
in the name of Jesus.
I believe
that Jesus is the Son of God.
That He died for my sins.
That He rose from the dead.
He's alive.
I receive His forgiveness. And from this day forth, I call Him my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe it was an act of recommitment or rededication, I want you to let us know. Message us on Facebook. We'd like to give you something to help you in your walk with God. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we'd like to pray for you. Reach out to us. I'd love to just meet with you or talk to you, pray with you over the phone, and watch the Holy Spirit and His power come on your life, so that you can be witnesses in this world and be light in this world. Amen. Let's stand for our sending out verse right now. Let's say this out loud together. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8.